everybody. Welcome back to Then She Did, A Quest for More. I am back on the phone with Erin. Hi, Erin.
Hi, Emily.
from the basement studio.
In my closet. This time I brought my meditation pillow up, so I feel more supported.
Nice. Yeah, that's a good idea. I was like, I should bring some tissues and cough drops down to the podcast studio. I don't know why it's taken me this long to figure out I might need supplies down here.
Yeah. Well, you know, your mind might be other places.
Yes. So how are you doing? How was your Mother's Day?
My Mother's Day was good. It was very low key. We celebrated on Saturday because my daughter's birthday was on Sunday. And so we just had like food that I wanted all day, and I worked out and I took a nap, and it was my turn to choose the movie. And we had watched, I had never seen The Matrix before. And so I had seen like that. I picked that a couple times ago, and then we watched Matrix 2, which I was not impressed. And then the third one, which was okay. So that's what we chose. I chose to watch on Mother's Day. And like, that whole, like the first one was the best. And I feel so much about,
you have like, to watch the other two though, just to find out like what happened.
Yeah. And it was a big, like, that's what happened. But,
I cannot believe you had never seen the Matrix.
I know. I was looking at the dates of, and it looked like, I think one happened the year, I was getting married, and then another one happened the year that like my daughter was born, and like there was like a messy couple of years in there where I completely fell off.
Oh yeah, for sure.
The grid when it came to pop culture.
So that was like that's why I didn't watch like Gilmore Girls. Mm-hmm. And what's the one with the girl with the actress with the really curly hair, and then she was like in love with two guys, and Ben Affleck's wife was in it. Jennifer Garner's in it. What is that show? I can't think of what that show was.
A show with Jennifer
Garner? Yeah, it was
Garner?
A show. And
was she a detective?
No, she was like the girlfriend. It was old. Like, but I was in that, like, yeah, I was a young mom with no cable. And it was on like one of the cable channels, and I couldn't watch it. So I had to watch that. I had to return to it when I was like 40. And then I was like, wait, I'm pretty sure someone who knew me wrote... Especially Gilmore Girls. I was like, oh, this was just about me. But
so funny.
That sounds like a great Mother's Day.
It was. How about you?
I had a nice day. We, my husband cooked banana pancakes and bacon for me. And then we had burgers for dinner. We had two, like, big meals, which is the way I think food should work. So that makes me happy. And... then we watched a ton of episodes of Once Upon a Time, which is my absolute favorite show. And the kids had watched, we had watched some of it like years ago, but I think they were just a little too young. And so.
Is that like the show that is like there's like the fairy tale realm and then there's the reality? Yes. Gwen used to watch that when from school. Yeah.
I love that show so much. It's so good. And as I've been watching it, I've been thinking like, it's really interesting, like from a poetry perspective, because there's so many words that they use, like, because there's like, right, the fairy tale characters don't know who they really are, and they live in like,
right,
they live in Maine now, and they, but like there's all this like subtle, they're always using all these hints and like using words in multiple ways to like oh my gosh, it's just really interesting. So I'm like, oh, there's no, it's not surprising, I guess, that it's my favorite show.
Plus the show another chance.
Plus just the theme, especially of the first season, is just so, it's really cool. But yeah, I had a good day. Did nothing, basically. You know?
Yeah, I mean, you stayed inside like you were supposed to.
Oh yeah, we didn't, I did see that there were lots of people who decided to celebrate with their moms, which was an interesting choice.
Yes, I would agree. And, I think the nicer the weather, people are like, whatever. I'm over it.
I know. I did not want COVID as a Mother's Day present. personally.
No, it seems like it's the gift that gives,
keeps on giving
for a very long time. Yes.
Yeah, I don't know. It's strange.
I mean, I think I read this article on Vox. I think it was Vox. If it was, we'll link back to it if I can find it. Not FOX, but VOX. And they said it so clearly. It was like, part of the problem is that, like, we can't, as a nation, they were comparing it to something else. I can't remember what they were comparing it to. But part of the problem is that, like, no one can agree what is actually happening. Like, so it does, it's not like an opinion of like what we should do differently. It's
right.
And everyone agrees on the set of facts that are presented. It's that people don't believe some people believe that this is a serious disease that's very contagious and, you know, dangerous. And other people are like, that's not true.
Right. It's like the most bizarre sort of physical manifestation. Although I guess we've been dealing with it in like climate change for forever. Right. But like, right, this really physical like manifestation of this division in our country of like what people believe, and it is just strange. Like,
right.
I don't see how do you like cover that gap between like, no, it's not happening and like people dying. I don't know. And like the scientists and the doctors telling you like, no, this is really serious. You need to take this serious. And people are just being like, oh, they're just lying. They're making it up. It's all a scam. And like, is it the government doing it? But also like you are the government. Like that's where it gets really confusing to me.
I don't have an answer for that, except that like, I just, the idea that someone can just be over this, like, oh, I'm just over, like, I'm just done about this. And then,
right,
like, your decision is therefore impacting my safety and health. And that's where I get, I've been really struggling with that. That's been hard.
I think in some ways it's almost helpful if you have somebody who's like I'm immune compromised, my mom's immune compromised. So it's just not a choice. Like those, there's just a hard stop, right? So like, I think in families where you don't necessarily have any real reason, although like if you watch that video of the restaurant in Colorado, which I think has now been shut down completely.
I couldn't watch it because I was like, this
crazy,
this is like triggering.
Moms holding babies. Nobody had masks on. I'm just like, I can't. I mean, think about what it was like to take your baby out just when it was just like normal germs. Like, I can't even imagine. Yes. But I think it was nice because, like, people were all dressed. Now that I'm thinking back, like, people were dressed, like, not bundled up. So it must have been sunny and warm. Nothing bad can happen when it's sunny and warm, I guess, is the thinking. I don't know. It's strange.
I'm sorry. My eyeballs just rolled all the way back to my brain. They're back now. But it reminds me of that skit from Saturday Night Live. Like, it doesn't matter what I like. It's awesome. It's like this pizza commercial and Kate McKinnon is like the mom that is just.
Never mind. Just do it without me.
I'll
just wait in the car.
Doesn't matter what I want. I'll just have the crusts from the garbage that the raccoons don't want. And like when I dip into that mentality when people are like, I'm over it. I'm just going to go out in the world. I'm like, because I'm done. And I'm like, it doesn't matter what I want. You know, like,
right.
It doesn't matter what, like, is, I don't know. I hope that connection, I made that connection clearly, because in my mind, sometimes I get angry and frustrated and it just all blurs together. But yeah.
Right. Well, it's that whole idea of like a common good seems to be just a missing concept. So, which is really frustrating when we start to think about like going back to school, like we're not going to be able to do just what your family, what works for your family and what you think is the right thing to do. Like we're going to have to do what works for the common good.
Right. I mean, and I think
at least I hope
that has been, I mean, it's everyone thinks that like their actions don't affect others and you know, and I could hear the other side of the story. Well, like, you know, the economy or whatever, And I remember I was reading an article from the New York Times, and it was like, I think a virologist had said, like, yes, those are all really valid concerns. And like, I loved how this guy who believes in science was like acknowledging the fears of people who have fears about the economy. He's like, but that fear doesn't take away from the fact that we're not ready to go back in the same way.
Right.
And like, I thought, two things can exist at once.
Yes. It's like, but we can't have that nuanced conversation because we're still having the conversation of like, is this real? Here's this urgent care doctor. He thinks it's all made up. We should listen to him.
Well, and then, I mean, and it's hard because like, so I shared on my personal Facebook page about this article in a local newspaper that had said, you know, called out all these groups that are against excessive quarantine.
Yeah.
And then it turned, and then these people in this group, some of the people in this group had had posts that were like inciting violence against the governor. And then all those groups were taken down. Yes. And then those groups were mad, calling the paper that had called them out, the Metro Times, a tattletale. Ugh. And that's when I thought about that. And I thought about the Vox interview or article about, we can't decide on like what the real facts are. So like, and then what's the common default? You name call.
Yeah. Right.
Anyway,
it's so disturbing. Anyway, yeah. We could talk about the pandemic all day.
I know, really. But we're going to talk about, and I think today's episode kind of goes into how the quest makes things clear for you, yes. For me at least. Anyway.
Yeah, helps you draw like those clear sort of like lines of what's important and not important, I think, is one of the things that it helps do. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but so for today's episode, we are going to do a deep dive into the story of your hero adventure, Erin. I'm super excited about it.
Yay.
Yay. Yay. And I know we've talked about a little bit about our stories in the past, but we wanted to do a couple of episodes where we sort of deep dive into just more.
What life looks like.
How those parts of the quest. So you might want to go back to that episode on the parts of the quest, because I had to refer back to that one when I was thinking about mm-hmm. the notes for this one. So, you know, what that story looks like and how it looks like, what it looks like in our lives. Yeah. Right.
All right.
So I wanted to start with that. There was that Joseph Campbell quote about the hero's journey that we talked about in that episode, where he talks about the usual hero adventure begins with someone from whom something has been taken, or who feels there is something lacking in the normal experiences available or permitted to members of his society or her society. This person then takes off on a series of adventures beyond the ordinary, either to recover what has been lost or to discover some life-giving elixir. So I was wondering if any of that reflects the beginning of your hero adventure, Erin.
Yes, it does. Actually, Emily, it does. I think having done this podcast, I'm able to put like my life trajectory into it. It makes more sense after having read The Hero's Journey. So yes, I would say that as a kid, I always felt that like there was something more out there, and I was always drawn to quest stories. Like mm-hmm. I mentioned in an earlier episode, I was obsessed with Wrinkle in Time and Star Wars and Wizard of Oz. And I always felt that there was something we couldn't see, or there was a reason for us being here, or, and I had that strong sense, but I also was kind of lost at the same time. And I think my quest then was I mean, if you're talking about something lacking, yes, I felt like there was something kind of like in the Matrix, like there is something I am like, this is not the only thing that I'm meant to do, is to like get up, go to school, you know,
right? Like there
do
was
my homework, and like there was something else out there. And you know, to recover something that had been lost or discover some life-giving elixir, you know, I don't feel like I had strong confidence in my voice or my perception of reality. Mm-hmm. And I think my quest then was to reclaim that voice, and then also see behind the curtain what else is out there. Like, it's not just this grind of a day.
Oh, yeah. I like that. Like, this, I'm picturing you now as like in The Wizard of Oz, trying to see what was behind the curtain.
Yes, that's, and like, you know, that scene in Star Wars where he is, it's in episode 4, and Luke is staring off onto the sunset, and there's like those two suns and moon, like whatever. And I was like, something, like he just knows there's something else out there. And I love that. And, but as strong as that sense was, like I said, I wasn't really confident in all of that. And I drifted into things that were not true for me, mm-hmm. but maybe what others had wanted for me. And I couldn't tell the difference at the time. I mean, I know that sounds, I don't know how to fit. To me, it sounds unbelievable. Like, how could I go through life and not know what I really wanted? How did I know I was just doing what others wanted for me? I don't know. I don't think I was awake. I don't think I had the confidence. And I was very heavily swayed by society's programming. Like, you know, get a job, you know, get married, have babies, and never questioning, how to fit this creative element in there.
Yeah. Do you think that, I think that's a really interesting point, because I think that's definitely a place where you and I, even though we are so similar in a lot of ways, like you and I sort of split there, where I was like, screw all social norms. And you were like, no, let's fit in. And I don't think one is right or wrong. I just think it's an interesting, it's like a diverging path. But do you think that's because the price was too high to go against? Like, why do you think you were like, okay, we need to stay within these guardrails?
I think that feeling a sense of belonging felt really important to me.
Yeah.
And I think that I at the time it didn't feel like it was trying to fit in, because I wasn't popular by any means at all. But I guess I would say, what was the question again? Why did I feel like I needed to fit in?
Yeah. Or just like, was it just the,
I think that I had lost touch with my voice so much that the only way that I could feel like I was on the right path was looking for external validation. And that idea of being perfect and chasing perfection and getting that fix of validation, like, to me, like, there were times in my life I feel like maybe I was drinking too much or, you know, like whatever, but that was never my real problem or addiction. I think the addiction really was, you know, chasing that thing and that thing of being perfection and validation. And I think when you're in that hole, you just don't see.
Yeah.
The option.
Yeah. I think that makes a lot of sense. Yeah. I think it has a lot to do with the, where that validation comes from, and needing that, right, getting that from whichever source you get that from. That's interesting.
And even though I was miserable. And I just really chalked it up.
It's to all the, good like, heroes are.
I just thought that was the price of living. Like, that was just, you know, like no one's happy. Like, I literally did not think that. I thought happiness was a myth, or contentment was a myth. And even though I thought that, my body was like speaking to me in very certain terms. I had a breakdown my freshman year of college that led me to visit the ER in the middle of the night. Stomach pains like I had never had before. When I graduated college, I mean, I cried a lot and I was angry all the time at work, and I had more stomach problems and heart palpitations. And the exciting one was the ocular migraines. I was like, what the actual fuck is happening here? And
I get those too. That's a good time.
I think I've had three in my entire life, and two of them happened like weeks apart. Like right around the time I was like getting married. And I ignored it all and I called it life. I mean, I did go to therapy, but I don't think I went to therapy with the idea, with like the conscious idea of like, okay, I'm going to figure out like how to escape this trap that I'm in. No, it was probably my objective was like, how do I not break? Because I mean, but I think on a soul level or like a subconscious level, I knew I had to get out of this trap, but like in my conscious mind, I didn't even know it was a possibility. I mean, everyone I knew in my life was miserable and hated work. Like that was just your life.
Right. We're going to have to, I wonder if we'll have to come back to this, because this is such an interesting, I was in therapy in college too. And it was just trying to deal with the misery. Like, here, can you give me some tools to deal with this misery, as opposed to like what we think of therapy now? So I don't know if it's like a time difference.
Decade
difference, or like what it is, but like, as opposed to like, give me the tools to find inside what's wrong and where, I don't know. It's really interesting.
I mean, because I feel like anybody that I saw during that time could have said to me, you know, maybe this line of work is not for you, know? And because,
or like, you don't have to be miserable, actually. Like, that's not
how
life is supposed to be lived. But I pose this, we have to write, my students have to write this job essay. And so like, mm-hmm. This is where we start. Like, this is, you actually don't have to be miserable every day of your life. Like, you shouldn't be going to work hating what you do. So maybe you should give it some thought here about like really. And a lot of them end up changing their majors after, because they have to like interview somebody in the field, and we do some personality tests, and like, is this really gonna, like, what is their daily life like? Is this really gonna work for you? What is the like power structure of these kinds of businesses you would be working in? Is that going to work for you? And all of those kinds of things. And I just think a lot of people don't, that idea that like, you wouldn't, like, that's how you make money. That's how you become successful. You just handle your misery.
And,
like,
and to be fair, like, I did take a career test in high school, and it did not say anything about being, I don't think it said anything about being a teacher. It said you could be a writer, which obviously, and then, or a funeral home director, which I think I would have been really good at that too. But I was like, I don't know anyone who does that. That's weird. I'm just going to do this other thing.
Yeah, right. I mean, I would have not thought to like steer you away from teaching, you know, like those aren't not skills that you have. Those aren't not skills. Does that sentence make sense? Those skills is what I'm saying.
Right.
To be a teacher. All right. So at what point in the quest do you think that is when you're?
Oh, that's definitely the refusing of the call, for sure. I refused the call and was miserable, just like they said, like in the explanation. And you blame everybody else and you're miserable. And that's just the way it is. You know, it feels very defeatist. that's a word. I don't know.
Yeah.
I felt very defeated, and that was it. And I was going to accept that way of life.
Yeah. Do you think there was a, and this is just a question I like to play out in my head all the time, but like, do you think there were opportunities or do you to like accept the call? Or do you think when you finally came, the time came? Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Well,
or did you have to go through all of the things to get to where you could accept the call?
Like, were there different entry points?
Or yes.
Was that just the one entry point?
Yeah, like sliding doors.
I don't know. That's a good question. I don't think that I was, I don't think I had the tools to like,
yeah,
live a life, because as I'll explain, like when you decide to accept the quest, like everything falls apart.
Yeah.
I mean, it really, it does. And I don't think I had the resilience for any of that at that point. But having said that, like on snow days when I was teaching, I would be writing. And
yeah,
so I think it just never left me, but like it wasn't anything I was serious about.
Yeah. Did you never took any writing classes in college? And you were there?
I took one journalism class, and that was it. And I was like, I am not a journalist. That's for sure.
No, I know. I went through that too. Like, this mm-hmm. isn't writing. This is not what I meant.
No. And no, I didn't.
But when you say you want to be a writer, that's where everyone points you to. Because I think it's the only way people think you can, like that's a successful writer.
Oh, yeah. Maybe I didn't tell anybody about that.
That you wanted to be a writer? You didn't tell anybody? Did your parents know you wanted to be a writer?
But at that time, I was like, I was really into dance. And I was just like, I'll just be a dancer or choreographer. Or like, you know, I'm going to tell stories that way. And then that did not work out. I don't know if I ever, I don't think I was in touch with the fact. I don't remember going to college being like, one day I'm going to be a writer. It was like, I'm going to be a dancer, or, you know, I'm going to do this thing, tell stories this way. But,
right. But this is really interesting because you always were writing, like you still have your journals. Like, so they must've, did they know that you were keeping journals? Your parents, your family? They must've, right? Or did they never see you writing? This is fascinating.
Emily, like, I'm like, this is not where I thought the conversation was going to go.
We've never talked about this. You're like, we have not covered this.
I don't know. I think it was just something I did. And,
that's so funny.
Yeah. I don't think I was really I think when I was a kid and high school, I was in touch with it. And then something happened like that senior year where I was like, I'm going to be, a dance teacher because I think I'd be a good teacher and I love to dance. And then it just, you know, like I never got into the program. And that was like one of those first things where you're like, okay, well, like if I can't do that, then, and I remember feeling a distinct amount of influence and pressure about getting a job that had benefits afterwards.
Yeah, for sure.
And something that I could support myself. I don't even think I considered writing at that time because I was like, okay, well,
right.
I mean, I have to get a job that's, I'm going to have health insurance and benefits and.
Right. Yeah, totally. That's really interesting.
Paycheck. Yeah.
All right. So you were in the refusal of the call.
For a very long time.
Body hurt everywhere.
And breaking down. And I was like, yep, that's life.
You're crying at work and your stomach hurt. You're like,
I was crying a lot at work.
Can't wait for tomorrow.
And then when I got home, it was even worse. Like I would just, I cried a lot. There was a lot of microwave kettle corn and cheap Pinot Grigio. Yeah.
I mean,
it was in a good place.
Those are important. That might fall into the category of supernatural aid.
Kettle corn definitely felt that way. Yeah.
All right. So what happens next? Where does
I eventually went on maternity leave and stopped teaching.
Yeah.
And I had always decided I was going to stop teaching when I was going to be a mom.
Yeah.
But I just figured, like, my plan from there was, like, to raise babies.
Then you were
and,
a mom.
Like, right. And be a mom. And then sub if I wanted some extra side cash on the side. Because, like, my life was going to be, like, raising kids.
Yeah, right.
That's so right. So I, but I still had that nagging to write came again. I mean, I dabbled in some freelance when my daughter was a baby. I would go to, like, these local writing groups. I even wrote, like, a short story. And then I started my blog after my son was born.
Interesting.
Like 3 months after he was born, I was like, okay, I got to do this.
All right, let me ask you this. And we've never...
Yeah.
Are you going to lose your thought? Can you hang on to that thought? I don't think we've ever talked about this, but was there something that gave you the permission to go back to writing?
Yes. Yes. This, I was in therapy and my therapist was like, have you ever considered starting a blog? And I was like, no. She's like, consider it, like, maybe you just need a place to, like, put down your thoughts. Because I wasn't journaling at that time. Because moms don't journal, Emily. They just don't. They don't go to that place. And I was like, so I researched it for a couple of months. And then I tried out some different platforms. And then one day I was just like, okay, I'm going to do this. And it was crazy how easy it was. Like, there was no barrier to entry. Like,
yeah.
I was able, like, I had a voice to use. Like, it just came out. And then I don't know if I started my blog, like, in September or October or whatever, September. I went to my first blogging conference that, like, the following June. And that was, like, that was the crossover threshold. Like, there was no going back after I saw, like, there was a whole world out there
right.
I didn't even know existed. I was like, people do this for real?
I know. It's so funny.
It was insane.
I remember being on maternity leave. It must have been with my son because it was about, I don't know. But I was on maternity leave. And that's like when I discovered blogs existed. I was like, wait, there are people out here like just writing about... their thoughts about like I could do that, like what is this? I didn't even know that was a thing,
right? It's crazy.
It's so crazy. I love that. We had never talked about that before, but I love that that's like that, like people that you cross on your path, right? Like there's this one random person who said this one random thing to you and it changed right. everything.
It did.
It's great. Did. I love that.
And I just got hooked on the, like, the lit up feeling I get when I clicked mm-hmm. publish and, like, opportunities that I did not even know existed, like, started rushing in. Like, I had some freelance opportunities. I had started teaching social media at a local business college. I was getting paid for writing.
Yeah.
And it was... it was crazy. And then, and it was like, for me, blogging then was like, a way to practice telling the truth. And, and so that then influenced my in real life.
Mm-hmm.
So I, over the course of blogging, I ruffled some feathers and, that to me was like, oh, like here's a consequence of telling the truth. And I would say that those early experiences from my blog were the things that helped me become more comfortable using my voice and being more brave. Not that I was more comfortable being uncomfortable, but like, I was like, okay, well, this is something that happens, you know, like there was no separating like, my blogging experience from my in real life.
Yeah.
I was breaking traditions. I was making choices in how I spent my time that like people didn't understand, especially if it conflicted with who they thought I was or should be.
And Yeah. Keep going.
And it meant like learning how to, like, I will never be comfortable. Like, I can't say like I'm comfortable even now with being uncomfortable with that. But like, I just understand it that like, that's not about really, that's not about me. That's about somebody else's idea of me. And I'm more interested in being me.
Which is right. Which is just crazy because you weren't writing a blog about a particularly like controversial subject. Right? Like you weren't. Right? I mean, you were just writing your own experience. Right. And it's fascinating how even just telling your own truth, it just causes all of these ripples.
Yeah. But that's okay because now I see it was really to prepare me for the next step.
Mm-hmm.
And the next step was magic lessons, being on that podcast and starting writing my memoir. Like that helps me deal with the fallout of the election of 2016. So essentially...
Well, if they're going to be mad at you about writing about how you had some problems with the way other, you know, like, I don't know, the traditional ideas of momming or whatever, like,
right.
Who cares?
This was a big one.
Right. And like once you've crossed that threshold.
Yeah. And I think the thing here where I am in my journey then is that creativity has given me clarity and, like practice and standing my ground. Like my landscape shifted when I did not tolerate hateful rhetoric and some people fell away and like others fell in. And it was a really like, it felt like that time in like when you shake up a snow globe and like everything was like in chaos. And through like this journey, like I'm able to understand my privilege in the world in a different way. And I had understood the assumptions that others had been making about me when I don't fit into their idea of me.
Right.
Or their idea of me. I realized like creativity isn't frivolous. It's given me confidence and compassion and most of all resilience. Like here's the thing. I'm the bad guy in some people's stories. And that's just the way it shakes out sometimes. Some people are the bad guy in my story. And that's just how that shakes out. And I can't change someone's perception of me and their story. And that has really given me the, like, I can't say I'm like, you know, that gif where Lady Gaga just like jumps off into the, like that when she's doing the Super Bowl performance. Like, I don't feel that way about being the bad guy in someone else's story, but I'm feeling better about it.
You don't and feel like you have to defend yourself and explain.
No, I still feel that way. I just don't do it.
You just don't. Right. Right. Okay. So you don't do it. You actively resist.
I think what, like in my meditation app that I use Calm meditation app, like I am observing those feelings. Those feelings are still there, but I am not reacting to them. I'm just observing them floating in the stream of my thoughts.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. This is so interesting.
So, I mean, so for me, I think if you were to say, like, where are you on your quest right now? I think
I was going to say that next.
It's not linear. For me, it's it's multi-leveled. Like I thought I was really ready to, like, go on to the next step and, like, publish what I had written and share all what I needed to learn upon what I had learned upon returning. But, like, I'm just going, it's just continuing on. Like, I've made the go ahead.
No, I mean, it's like we're in a show with seasons, you know, it's like you get to the season finale and like that part wraps up, but like, then, you know, the next season starts and it's like this whole new conflict.
Oh my gosh. Oh. I love that analogy. Yes, that's what it is. So like in this like season premiere coming up,
yes,
I have decided to revise my memoir again. I'm joining up with this writing group. And I'm going to like, I feel like there's more to learn. And I would also say, I feel like I've learned a lot during this time in quarantine and I'm stitching what I've already learned about me instead of observing it. Like, I'm practicing it. Like, yeah. That whole idea of, like, someone's mad at me. I'm the bad guy in someone else's story. Like, I'm getting better at, like, observing that and like, moving on. Like, it's a practice instead of, like, reacting to it all the time. So,
yeah. Well, like we said, started off talking about, some people tell themselves really crazy ass stories. So the way they feel about you may have nothing to do with reality. May or may not.
Correct. Just right. Like, and,
I mean, you know, if you can deny a global pandemic, you can make something into just about anything.
And that's not for, like, I can't go in there and manage everyone's perception and make them happy and make them like me. And so I would say that I am definitely still on the quest of, like, finding my voice. I mean, I'm taking this memoir voice class, and I think that's but I feel like I've made progress. And I have learned something that I can share with people. Like, I know, like, fear and what it looks like. And it doesn't always look like it. The outside actions of those things don't always mm-hmm. look like what the inside looks like, if that makes sense. And, you know, someone who's afraid might be attacking somebody.
Oh, yeah.
Where that looks like anger, but it's really just a fear about something else inside of them. And I'm getting to, like, understand that more, especially in, like, how I act when I'm scared.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, like, changes everything when you figure that out about mm-hmm. how people do that. Every emotion for every member of our family comes out as anger. So it's really fun over here. We're a real good time.
That sounds really intense.
No, I know it. Some of us oscillate between like passive aggressive behavior and anger, and then some of us are just straight on angry.
Yeah,
which works well with the passive aggressive. Yeah. I was gonna say this is so interesting because I think we talked about this, like, way back in the beginning about how someone had talked about, like, how this whole pandemic period of time was like having a newborn. And, like, mm-hmm. every day was, like, trying to figure out, like, okay, well, how do we do this? And, like, it's a whole new day. And, like, every day the baby is different. Every day you're trying to figure it out. But it is also kind of like maternity leave. And that's interesting that it, like that gave you this time to move forward in your quest. And it's kind of, it's like doing that same thing again now. If we think about, can we just think about pandemic as, like, this extended maternity leave for all of us? But it is. It's, like, this weird period of time where there is, like, a pause,
right? And there's no real like, the rhythm is changing because your baby is changing, and, like, it doesn't look like your traditional life. It looks like a really weird version of it. Yeah.
And there's something about you're so alone in that period of time too, I think, that I don't know. It, like, forces you to reevaluate your own life, because I feel like you're just by yourself. I feel like, even though there are people helping you or whatever, it doesn't really, it doesn't feel that
way. But you're in your head.
Right. You're the one that's up in the middle of the night. You're the one that's, like, you know, alone dealing with it when everybody's gone. And yeah, exactly. I just think that's really interesting.
And everyone has an opinion about how you should be spending your time.
Everyone has an opinion about how you should be spending your time. Yes. Well, we do have opinions about that right now. You should be staying home is what you should be doing.
Yeah, exactly.
Figure out something to do to entertain yourself. Pick up a hobby, for goodness sakes.
Right. Or, like, figure out why you can't focus on a hobby. Maybe you have some, you know, I think that I didn't realize that I was not well when I was on maternity leave. Like, I had some real anxiety, you know, maybe even some depression issues. And, you know, I think that that's like another, like, texture to the quest, is that, you know, you might be working against some uncomfortable things. And, you know, I don't know where I was going with that. Maybe that's why you refuse the call. Maybe that's why it's uncomfortable to stay home, or
Well, and
you know, or to go on this journey, like, you're going to have to, like, do some reflecting on those things.
Yeah. I mean, we've both gone through, like, periods of time where there's just, like, it just feels like there's nothing. You don't, mm-hmm. like, not excited about anything. You're not, like, moving forward. Like, nothing seems to be moving. You know, there's just those right. periods of time where it's just, like, I thought we were on this thing that was going somewhere.
Right.
But then things change. Like, you just have to...
I mean, and I think that's really about being open to the quest. Like, last episode, I talked about how the idea of reworking my memoir had come into place when I, like, had that really weird mystical experience on Instagram where, like, this thing just showed up in my feed and mm-hmm. for the workshop. And, you know, so I think that that's the other thing. I've learned to, like, be open to, like, the nonlinear process of this because, you know, as someone who, like, the best part of college was, like, someone told you what to do and how to get there and, like, what requirements you needed to fulfill in order to, like, move on. Like, this journey is, like I said earlier, very nonlinear.
Yeah. And you titled this, you titled the notes, in the messy middle, which I feel like maybe the quest is just always the messy middle. Like, you get some high points of, like, you get somewhere, something finishes, something begins. But then, like, the most of the time is spent wrestling around in the messy middle, I feel like.
Right. And we had talked about, like, how this isn't, like, easy work. Like, it is not, like, a walk in the park. And, you know, if you decide to go on to do something like this, like, yeah, like, your landscape is going to shift and it might be uncomfortable for a long time. But it's worth, I mean, to me, it was worth it because I'd rather be authentic and know who I am than go back to that part of my life where, like, my body was breaking down because I was miserable.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I feel like that's always such a great sign. Of, like,
I mean, it is, but, like, how I ignored it for a really long time, like, I think ridiculously long.
I mean, look at the amounts of people who are, like, in chronic pain. Like, I think a lot of people do. Not saying that all of that is just all pain is just, you just need to accept your quest. Like, that's not what I'm saying, but right, like, a lot of people just live with pain,
right,
and just accept pain as, like, their way of life, and that's not always. That's not always something that you have to put up with anymore.
Right.
But, yeah. I love this. I'm so glad we did this. I feel like I've learned so many more things about you. And we thought we knew each other's stories.
I know. Jeez.
Is there anything else about your quest you want to tell us? Anything else about your...
I think that, you know, I may have returned home to, like, for the season, but I think it's time to, like, go back out there. And I don't think I think once you cross the threshold, you cross the threshold.
Yeah.
So I am excited to see, like, what happens next on this part where I'm figuring out how to, like, live post, you know, well, if our state opens up, like, what that's going to look like and, like, what, revising my memoir. I just feel like there's a lot of things that I have learned on the quest that I could take with me to the next season.
Coming up. I do like this metaphor.
I really like that because I was like, gosh, like, I really thought it was done. And then I'm like, oh, but, like, if it's a series, like, you would have a series finale and you're like, oh yeah, that storyline's, like, wrapped up, but, like, now we're launching into this new thing.
Right.
I think, like, This Is Us does it the best. Like, you really... Like, they're able to give you, like, that tied up storyline, but, like, and you're, like, satisfied for a second until they launch into, like, the next level. And I mean, you're just like, oh my God, that's so great.
I know. What was it? Oh, I think it was Game of Thrones. I was like, when I had a Facebook memory that was just like, and now everybody's going to just be happy right? Like everyone's just going to live happily ever after. Nothing else is going to happen, right? Like right. I had wrapped up for like a split second before everything fell apart again. But yeah. Yes. I can't wait to see what happens on your next season.
I can't wait to hear your story next week.
Yes. That'll be interesting. Who knows what you'll learn about me?
I know. I just like, it's so funny. This was a really organic conversation between us, in case you didn't know. Like, yeah, we had some notes, but like, we didn't know it was going to go there.
No, I'm still like flabbergasted that like nobody knew you wanted to be a writer.
I don't think so. Like, watch, like my parents will call in and be like, that's not true.
We're not doing any call-in episodes. So that's not. No.
To me personally, no. I don't remember being like, okay, I'm going to be a writer. Like,
yeah.
I don't know.
It's just interesting because it's like one of those things that's hard to like know what that means as a kid, or like it just seems like something that isn't a real thing.
Right. It didn't seem real.
But dancing seemed real. So that's like, which is also kind of like one of those things.
Well, I knew dancers and I knew like that's true. Saw like my dance teacher and she seemed like she had a pretty sweet gig owning her own studio. And, you know, like I didn't want to ever, like I never saw myself sitting in an office, you know, doing God, office work.
God, so. No.
It's like I knew somebody, like I had seen somebody, like I don't think I ever knew like a writer. I don't think I ever met a published writer.
That's really interesting.
Until like I probably started blogging.
Yeah, that's really interesting. It's like it makes me think about the thing our school does with the authors in April and how our kids yeah. like meet authors every year and hear them talk about their work and how hopefully valuable that is in helping them see like you can do these things. These are real things people do.
Right.
I mean, you might have to go around and talk to a bunch of elementary kids in order to make some extra cash. But like,
right.
It's part of the gig. You can do it.
Part of the gig.
It's,
right.
It's fun, right?
I think it would be fun.
I know. I think it would be fun too. All right. Should we wrap it up?
Yep. I think so.
Thank you for sharing with us, Erin.
Thank you for listening.
I think this was really important stuff that we got today.
I'm going to be thinking about this conversation probably for the rest of the day, which is you're A-OK
gonna,
with me.
You're going to be texting me later going, I don't...
What happened?
Yeah, and the part about your therapist like saying, like, I think you should start a podcast. Like, I just love that. It's like that one. I just love that.
Yeah, that is... that was definitely it.
Yeah.
Well, everyone, thank you for listening. And don't forget to give us a follow or a rating on iTunes or Apple Podcasts. It's not iTunes. Sorry. Yeah.
Wherever you listen to podcasts.
Then She Did Pod. You could follow us at Instagram, on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And again,
Instagram,
always
Facebook,
email
Twitter.
Us at thenshedidpod@gmail.com if you have any questions or comments.
Yes, let us know how you're doing on your quest. Let us know where you are.
Yeah, where are you?
What season are you in?
Season are you in? Yes.
Did you just have a season premiere, a season finale? What's happening?
Yes.
Need to know. All right, next week.
All right.
All right.
We'll talk to you later.
All right, bye.
Bye.